there and food. So I hope that you're able to come and be a part of that. Also, just take a note there as well. Holy Communion service here, September 28th. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Thank you. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. It's coming from portions of Psalms 40. The psalmist says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He has brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord their trust. Will you turn your hymnals to page 350? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Page 350.
Thank you.
Boy, we can just agree with that song, can't we? 100%. We've proved Him over and over in our life, and we can truly trust our Savior, can't we? We can just rely on Him to be faithful to us, that He is always giving us love and grace and mercy, and as much as we trust in Him, we know that He will hold true to who He is and who He says He is. Praise the Lord for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that we have been able to prove You over and over and over and over again in our life. As much as we call upon You, as much as we look to Your Word and seek You in our life, You prove Yourself to be holy and true and just to us. We can truly call You Savior and friend and Father, Lord, because You have proven these things to us day in and day out. And Lord, we can trust completely and totally in You. Lord, we can put our full faith and full confidence in You and Your Son Jesus, because Lord, every time we've done it in the past, Lord, You've proven it to be a good thing. So Father, this morning as we come seeking You, Lord, we again seek to put our trust and our faith in You. Maybe we've come this morning with the problems of our life. Maybe we've come from a difficult week, or maybe we're suffering some illness or sickness. Lord, I just pray that we come right now and we seek to put our full faith and trust in You in this time, that Lord, as we are worshiping and praying to You, that Lord, we are putting our full trust into You and Your Son Jesus. Lord, we know as much as we do that, Lord, You are faithful and true. And Father, we praise You here this morning for that. Lord, we bless You. We bless Your Son, Jesus. It's in His holy name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be back with you. Friday, got home from Pennsylvania and had a week of schooling there, and was just great to kind of come back. Always just wonderful to come back into the valley. But appreciate all the prayers as I was there at Elizabethtown College and Brethren Bible Institute there with the Church of, well, I guess it's through the Church of the Brethren, but just a wonderful week of Bible study and worship, and come back to you just ready to worship and serve You again through that week of renewal for me. So I appreciate your prayers. Also, by way of prayer and concerns, I want you to continue to put on your prayer list Faye Hall. If you would, continue to lift her up in prayer. She is still having trouble with her vision, and would be appreciative of all your prayers, that God will just lead her to the doctor or person that could bring her some help for her eyes. Also, just a praise for healing for Bambi's grandfather, Otis. We lifted him up in prayer, I think last week as well, and he had COVID, got diagnosed with COVID and COVID pneumonia, was taken to the hospital, and 102 years old, but praise the Lord, he is home. And doing well, doing better. So we just praise the Lord for that and for the answered prayers that Otis received. And so we just thank God for that. There's a lot of other people it seems to have be coming down with COVID. Deborah, in fact, tested positive last week for COVID. Also, Ashley Showalter has tested positive for COVID. So if you would just keep those people in your mind. Deborah's doing well. She's okay. She's passed the quarantine, and she's doing well. So we just pray the Lord for that. She's not here today, but she's kind of taking an extra precaution. But we just know that God has healed her, and we just pray that for Ashley as well, and all the others that may be dealing with that. Congratulations should go to Randy and Jessica Simpson. They have received a new baby boy into the family. So we praise the Lord for that. Hayes Barrett Sampson. So we just praise the Lord that they've received this new baby. He's a big boy, 8 pounds and 12 ounces. So Joanne shared with his hands were big and he was long, so he's going to be a big boy, we think. But he's healthy and he's home, so we just praise the Lord for that and for the just a congratulations to Randy and Jessica. And we can't wait to see that new baby when they come to church and show him off. Also, our prayers for Eastern Kentucky. I don't know how many of you watched that on the news of the flooding. I think the death toll has reached double digits now, unfortunately. And just a tragic situation there. So many have been affected by that. It's a very poor area anyways. And so they've just kind of been devastated there in Eastern Kentucky. Just a tragedy to hear some of the stories that are coming out of. I know there was one story where a mother and father were coming out. They each had two children. I think 8, 5, 3, and 1. I can't remember the ages exactly, but they were young. And they were just washed away. The parents lived, but the children were washed away. So what just a tragedy. Just breaks your heart to hear these stories. We just lift those families up this morning, particularly that family, that mother and father. Can only imagine the grief that they're going through. We just pray for them that the community will come together and that God will just somehow walk with them through this very difficult situation. Lots of loss of life. So please be in prayer for those in Eastern Kentucky from this flooding. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? You know, yesterday I happened to be... Oh, sorry. Pam?
It's Jennifer.
Okay.
She's going to have a biopsy.
Okay. If you would, keep Jennifer Lambert in your prayers and for a biopsy that she's having. What I was going to say is yesterday I happened to be taking the trash to the dump, and I stopped down here at the stop sign next to Trent's house, Trent Byerly's, and there was a bad accident there. Several motorcycles wrecked. One ran into a car, and one young man was killed, I'm pretty sure, is what I've heard. So just be praying for that family today. I don't have a name for you. I don't know any more about that. I just know that there was a young man that was killed on that motorcycle. And I could see, of course, the rescue was there, and I could see the bike was kind of into the guardrail, and there was another motorcycle as well laying on its side out in the middle of the road. And, of course, I just said a little prayer right then, please, Lord, help them. I don't know. I didn't know the situation. But just be with them, and then, of course, heard that that he had passed. So what a tough thing there for that family. We'd certainly just lift them up in our prayers and just pray for God's healing through that great loss. Anyone else? Robin? Okay. Okay. I heard about that, and be praying for him, certainly. Yeah. Said he fell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicole said that Natalie is doing really well with her transplant, and she may get out about a week early, but the roommate passed away, one of the children next door to them.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We praise the Lord for Nicole and for the success of that transplant, but certainly prayers for that family who had lost a child. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward, collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you here as your church, as your people, Lord. Lord, we come before you singing your praise. Lord, we come before you praying and offering our prayers to you, our prayer requests. Lord, we come before you opening our hearts and our minds in our worship of you and your Son, Jesus. Lord, we come before you in memory and remembrance of, Lord, how good you are to us. Lord, how wonderful you seek to bless us, Lord, day by day. And Lord, we remember your mercy upon the cross. Lord, your grace. And Lord, the purchase of our salvation that you gave to each one of us right there in that moment. And Lord, we thank you for all that you are to us. And Lord, we worship you and lift you up above every other name upon heaven or earth. Lord, you truly are the true and living God, and there is none other but you. And we pray that all knees might bow before you. Lord, we know that will happen one day, but Lord, I pray even now that, Lord, knees would bow before you, Lord, that people would come willing to give their life and their heart to you. Lord, we pray upon those names lifted here this morning. There's prayer requests, Lord, you know each one. You know the situation. Lord, we specifically lift up those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Those who have lost children, even here in the past couple days. Lord, those that have suffered great loss, great anguish in their life. Lord, we just pray that you be with those people even right now. Lord, as churches are gathered in that eastern Kentucky area, just pray that they might find hope even in the midst of this great storm that has taken away so much from them. Lord, just pray that they come to you and, Lord, seek your help. And, Lord, that you provide the help that they need in this moment in their life. Lord, thank you as well for this offering and tithes that we bring before you this morning. Just pray that, like the priest that would bring forth the censer, Lord, that this smoke might come up before you as a great thing. Lord, we just pray as well that our offerings might rise up into your presence, Lord, and that you might just receive the blessing of our tithes and our offerings here this morning. Lord, we give these things unto you. And Lord, that you might multiply them, and Lord, that you might accomplish your mission here upon this earth. Lord, we praise you now as we turn to your word. Open our hearts to receive it, I pray. Have us to grow in our faith and our understanding of your principles, Lord, and your love. And Father, open our hearts that we might be more than hearers, but doers of the word, that we might go forth and live out these principles in this world in which we live. Father, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. Children's church, youth Sunday school. Thanks to all those who are helping with that, for sure. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. That's Old Testament. 1 Samuel. Look up maybe a familiar story here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to be looking at verses 2 through 28, so kind of looking at this entire chapter. But I'm not going to read it all at once. We'll just kind of read it as we go through it. And we'll see the story of this woman, Hannah. And learn of her great faith and her great belief in the Lord. Starting here at verses 2, I'm going to read down to verse 7, then I'll stop and we'll continue on. And he was, that is, her husband, Elkanah. He, Elkanah, had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. And therefore she wept and did not eat. Now again, this story that we're looking at this morning is of Hannah. This, as you notice here, is the wife of Elkanah. And she had been plagued with this burden of being childless. She was barren. She was unable to have children. And in the Middle Eastern culture, that would have been quite difficult for Hannah. It was a great burden to not be able to bear children. And it was counted by people in that day, I guess as well as today, to be a blessing of God to be able to have children. And this infertility that she was dealing with was, in her mind, that she was less blessed than other women like her. And so Hannah carried this great burden of not being able to bear children, as we see her here, even crying to the Lord. To add insult to injury, not only could Hannah not conceive, but notice that she lived during a time when polygamy was an accepted lifestyle. Now, that's not something that God says a person should do or that it was an accepted lifestyle, but it was certainly something that this family was practicing, and that she was in sort of a relationship where the husband had two wives, herself and then Phinehas. And so that was difficult as well. And then to add insult to injury, I guess you could say, is that the counterpart of Elkanah, this other wife, was quite rude. Notice in verse 7, so it was year by year that she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. This is this other woman. And therefore she wept and did not eat. So this other wife was kind of mean-spirited. She was nasty. You know, not only could she not conceive, but then she had this other wife that was belittling her, berating her every chance that she got. Her rival, and her rival also provoked her severely, verse 6, to make her miserable before the Lord and to close her womb. So this is quite a thing that she had to deal with. Hannah certainly had a lot of stress within her life, a lot of burden that she bore here. Yeah, I think this is the craziest name I've ever titled a sermon, Hannah Banana. But as soon as I said Hannah, I thought of banana. And then it came to me that maybe the reason I thought of that is because Hannah was much like a banana in that on the outside, she was particularly very hard. She had a thick skin. She had to have thick skin, didn't she? To be able to endure not only the barrenness that she, this barren life that she had to endure, but then to have this competitive wife that's kind of making fun of her and picking on her. I would imagine just for her to get through her day, to live her life, that she had to have a thick rind. a thick skin. But as you dig here, as we see and as we will read here, you see as you kind of peel back the layers of Hannah, you'll see that in the inside that Hannah was a great person of faith and that she was devoted to God and that she had great faith in her life. So this suffering that Hannah endured, maybe we can relate to Hannah in some way. Maybe we've endured some type of suffering in our life. Maybe it's not like necessarily Hannah here with this barren situation, infertility, but maybe we've suffered in other physical ways. Maybe there's other physical illnesses that we can relate to Hannah, something that we've suffered. And maybe we don't understand why we suffer such illness or sickness in our life. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's something mental that you've dealt with. We can relate, I think, to Hannah in a lot of ways here that we too have suffered like Hannah. And we understand maybe somewhat of what she was going through. Notice, though, that God, it says, shut up her womb. Verse 6 there. And her rival also provoked her severely, making her miserable because the Lord had closed up her womb. This situation of infertility was really in the plan of God, wasn't it? God had shut up her womb. You know, I don't think necessarily we like to think of our own suffering as being in the plan of God. You ever considered that maybe the things I'm going through are in accordance? There's nothing that I've done personally. You know, sometimes we suffer at the results of our own sin. You know, if you go out and rob a store or kill someone, guess what? You're sitting in prison. You can't say, well, why did God do this to me? You know, you kind of suffer at the hands of your own sin. But there are other situations in our life where we do suffer. We do endure different hardships. And we can't necessarily say, well, it's because, you know, I've been unfaithful. Isn't that what the friends of Job said to him? Kept accusing Job. Well, don't you know, you're suffering all this in your life because, Job, you've been unfaithful. Because, Job, you have doubt. Because, Job, you don't have faith. You know, some preachers would preach that. Just because you're suffering. Maybe it's because you lack faith. I'm careful. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes we just suffer because it's in the divine plan of God. Now, we might not understand what that plan is. Hannah certainly didn't understand what that plan was. But God had a purpose for closing her womb. Maybe He needed her to be tough. Maybe He needed her to have that hard skin so that she could get through some very difficult things. And maybe that was part of it. But God had a plan. God knew what He was doing, that through this, that God was eventually going to give her a son, and that this son was going to be Samuel, whom the book that we're reading is titled after, and that this Samuel was going to be a great prophet. He was going to be the last judge, the last great judge in Israel. He was going to do great things. Samuel was going to be the guy that calls forth and anoints David into the ministry, into being a king. Samuel's going to do great things. God had a plan. Even through the suffering of Hannah, God was going to do something great. Now, doesn't that make us kind of reevaluate maybe some of the suffering that we are going through? Maybe some of the things that we endure? That maybe God just has a purpose and a plan through it. Maybe God is going to do something great through your suffering. That's kind of remarkable to think about, isn't it? We have to be open. We have to have faith that God is working even when we can't see it. Hannah was tough. Maybe God needed her to be tough for the things that she would endure in her life. But you pull back the layers of Hannah, you kind of peel back these layers, and you see Hannah, this great servant of God. Hannah, who is faithful to the Lord. Hannah, this strong believer of God. Hannah, whose heart was full of love and grace and hope. That's very opposite of this other wife, who seems to be quite bitter and ugly and mean-spirited. But here Hannah, this beautiful woman, a heart full of love, grace, the desire to serve God. You know, her name actually translates into the word grace. She was a woman of great grace, and her faith was extremely strong. Now, that's what I want to talk with you about this morning as we look through this story here, the great faith of Hannah, and how this might help us even in our faith. Because we see Hannah was a woman of strong faith. And number one, Hannah was a strong person of faith because she knew where to take her problems. Let's read on here. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." Here we see Hannah, this person of great faith. And we know she has great faith because she takes her problems to the Lord. Where does Hannah go? She's weeping. She's upset. She's in bitterness of spirit. She's in anguish that she can't have this child. Now, she could have took her problems to a number of different places in that city. You know, there was temples to foreign gods that she could have went to. She could have went and made an offering to some idol. You know, they had different idols there that in that time that dealt with fertility. Baal is one in the Old Testament. Baal, it's pronounced a couple different ways. And Asher was another one. These were pagan gods that if a woman was having fertility problems, they could come and make a sacrifice to these idols. But did Hannah go to an idol? No, we don't see her doing that. We don't see Hannah going to a sorcerer. We don't see Hannah doing any of these pagan things. But Hannah took her faith to the Lord, didn't she? And we see her at the temple pleading and praying to God to answer her prayers. In her suffering, in her brokenness, her faith caused her to seek the face of God for help and healing. The question is, where do we go with our problems? Where do you go when you have troubles? Do you run to the Lord? Seek His help? Seek His healing? Seek His answers to prayers? Or do you run to other sorts of things? Some people turn to drugs, don't they, when they have troubles? They turn to addiction. Other people might turn to anger. You just get angry and maybe start to curse or be out of control. Maybe some might turn to pornography. Some might turn to food. I've done that a few times. Turn into McDonald's. I should be turning into the church. I've made too many turns at McDonald's. Maybe they have a rebellious spirit against God. Just get angry with God. Not turning to God, but maybe Hannah could have just had this resentment. God, it's all because of you. You curse me, God. I'd be having all sorts of children, but God, this is your fault. That's not what Hannah did she? Maybe we get angry with God, have this rebellious spirit. Some people just ball it all up inside, don't they? Just kind of ball it all up. Not taking their problems to the Lord, just kind of build it up, build it up, build it up, not release it. Listen, Hannah took her problems to the Lord. And listen, friends, there she found answers for her prayers. The Lord wants to help us, doesn't He? A lot of things we carry in our life, a lot of problems we deal with, a lot of, whether they're mental or whether they're physical, a lot of these things we carry an unnecessary burden. Lord said, if you'd just come to me long ago, I'd take it off of you. I'd remove it. I'd get rid of it in your life. Sometimes we want to hold on to things, don't we? When God says, I just want to remove those things from your life. Well, Hannah did that. She came to the Lord. She took her problems to the Lord. And there she found answers for her prayers, healing and comfort. Why do Christians turn and run away from God rather than towards God when it comes to our problems? It kind of reminds you of Jonah, doesn't it? Remember, he was supposed to go to preach and proclaim the word in Nineveh, and what did he do? He ran away from God. We do much the same. Is it, maybe it's foolishness? Just foolish that we don't turn to God when He says, I want to help you? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's just the flesh. Maybe it's just a lack of faith altogether. Well, Hannah had faith, and she knew where to take her problems. Number two, in her brokenness and pain, because of her faith, Hannah trusted in God's power and ability to work on her behalf. Hannah knew that God could do something about her situation. She had faith and trusted that God was at work, even when she didn't understand it, and that God was going to do something about her situation. Now, what was God's plan? Well, talked about. Hannah was going to be the mother of this very important prophet of Israel, Samuel. And she makes a vow. Look there in verse 11 as we read on. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give to him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. And Hannah spoke in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore Eli thought that she was drunk. And so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit and have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken unto now. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Listen, she came and she had faith, didn't she, that God could answer her prayers. That not these idols, not something else, not someone else, but that God had the answers to her problems. And she saw them there. And notice, she didn't do it just in a nice, neat little prayer either. This is Hannah just pouring out her heart there to the Lord. Just speaking to the Lord. She didn't care how she looked. In fact, notice there that the temple priest looks at her and thinks she's drunk, because she's moving her mouth, she's talking to God, and she's just pouring out her heart to the Lord. I think that's what the Lord wants. Have you ever prayed like that before? You're just pouring out your heart before the Lord? Not some nice, neat little prayer, but just pouring out your heart, pleading with God. This is what Hannah was doing. And she trusted that God was going to answer her prayers, and she poured her heart out to the Lord there. Number three, Hannah believed God would do what He said He would do. She believed it. Notice there, verse 17, that after Eli answers and says, "Go in peace, that God of Israel grant your petition," she didn't question that, did she? Now, she wasn't immediately pregnant. She didn't, of course, that would later come, but notice there, she has faith to believe that what Eli says was going to come true. This is the faith of Hannah. "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight," verse 18. So the woman went her way and ate. Notice she wouldn't eat before. She was upset, right? And her face was no longer sad. She had faith. She believed. And she knew that what God had promised that He was going to do. God was going to do even as He said He was going to do. He was going to give her a child. And she knew that. She had faith to believe that. And she went her way and her sadness was no more. I tell you, that says a whole lot about who Hannah was and how much faith that she truly had in her life to believe that. Reminds you of the person who came to Jesus. Remember, his son was sick and he asked Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus answers and says, "Well, he's healed. Go your way." And the man believed and he left and he went home. And remember when he came close to the city, the servant came out and told this man, "Your son was healed." And he said, "At what time of day did the boy get better?" And his son was sick unto death. And he said, "At such and such a time." And the man remembered that was the exact moment when Jesus spoke, "Your son is healed." He had faith. He believed. Hannah believed. And she, her countenance was changed immediately because of her faith. Number four, Hannah was faithful and strong then to uphold her end of the prayer as commitment to God's plan and sovereignty. Let's read on. "Then they rose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked for him from the Lord.' Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'Not until the child is weaned. Then will I take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.' And so Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you.'" Now there's a husband that knows not to argue with his wife. "Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took up with her 3 bulls and 1 ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, may my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Here we see Hannah upholding her end of the commitment. Hannah was faithful to uphold her end of the prayer. She prayed back there, remember, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." And that's exactly what she did. Now, Samuel probably was about 3, maybe 4 years old when he was weaned of his mother. So she got to be with him the first couple years. But then she said, "I'm going to follow through exactly with what I promised the Lord. I'm going to give Samuel to the Lord, that he may remain there in the temple as he grows, and really all of his life. I want you to look back here to chapter 2, verse 18, 21 real quick. Because I want you to notice Hannah didn't just abandon Samuel. But notice, as the child grew, Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe, it says, and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Boy, could you imagine the heart-wrenching, just to give your son to the temple, how much Hannah wanted this child. And then to have the faith to say, I promise this boy to you. And then to give him over to the Lord. This must have been heart-wrenching. But notice here, she kept continuing to come year after year, making him a little robe. And she and Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife. And notice here, though, and say, the Lord gave you descendants from this woman from the loin, or from the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go in their own home. And the Lord, notice here, visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. So even though she gave Samuel up to the Lord, notice that the Lord blessed her and gave her many other children. And meanwhile, the child Samuel grew up before the Lord. Must have been heart-wrenching. But Hannah's faith was strong, and she knew that God had a perfect plan, that God was going to work through Samuel, and which he did for the children of Israel. Lastly, number five, Hannah gave God praise for all the way that he had worked. I hope that maybe this evening you can turn back to this story, and I want you to read chapter 2, and mine titles it Hannah's Prayer. And there she gives the Lord thanks for working in her life, for all the blessings that he gave to her. I hope that you read that this evening. That's your homework. Go home and read chapter 2. Her prayer, her song, kind of is much like the prayer of Sarah, or mother of Jesus, Mary. She had a song or a prayer that she prayed after. There's many stories of women being barren and then praying to God, God opening their womb, and then these people doing great things for the Lord. And Hannah praised the Lord, and she prayed this beautiful prayer to God for all her blessings. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this story of Hannah, Lord, of her great faith. Lord, I pray that it encourages each one of us in our walk. Lord, whatever difficulty we may be going through, whatever situation that we might be facing, Lord, maybe it's at our job, maybe it's in our home life, Lord, maybe it's in our family, maybe it's physical, a sickness or an illness, kind of like what Hannah is dealing with, maybe it's other. Father, you know what situation that each person here is going through. Lord, I just pray that you encourage us in this story, that our faith and our problems, we might turn to you and seek the answers that we need. And Lord, that we might be faithful to, Lord, not only receive those answers, but as we receive them, Lord, that we come back and that we're faithful to follow through with our pledge, our commitment, our faithfulness to serve you, and Lord, just to give you thanks for all that you're doing within our life. Lord, we thank you for the great faith of this woman, Hannah. Her story is there in this Bible, Lord, so that it encourages each one of us who is here today. And Lord, we just thank you for it. Praise you, Lord. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather in our closing hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, page 410. Let's stand and sing. Page 410. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go forth here from this place, Lord, we enter into another week, Lord. Seek that you will lead and guide and direct us. And Lord, I pray that whatever troubles or sufferings we might be dealing with, maybe even in this week to come, Lord, I pray that we're quick to turn to you, to seek your face, Lord, to ask and seek your help. And Lord, that we have faith to believe not only that you can do something, Lord, but that you will do something about the situations in our life. Lord, we praise you that you care for us, that you are concerned with our suffering, even like that of Anna. Lord, your eye is watching over us. You're not ignorant of what's going on in our life, but Lord, you are watching over our every move. You know every hair upon our head. Lord, you know the sufferings that we deal with. And Lord, you're just waiting for us to come to you that you might answer our prayers. Lord, we just thank you for that. Just pray that each one of us has enough faith to turn to you in that moment. Lord, that we might not look to our own self, our own ability, our wisdom, or knowledge, or any other nonsense. But Lord, that we just have faith to turn to you. Lord, help us do that, I pray, as your church. We praise you for it. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.